Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler, and this podcast is brought to you by 42 Degrees with 4 convenient locations in Omaha.
Open 8 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week by your mom's house. I'll see you there.
Us or just follow us
or both.
Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Buddy Craig Peters here and Colleen's here, but first, before we welcome another guest on the phone, another semi-regular on the program who we love when he phones the program. Another season of Bizarre Foods and our buddy Andrew Zimmern. Hi, Andrew.
What's up, people?
Hey, Todd's a Viking fan. I know you are too. Are they going to win this week?
I believe that our toughest game was behind us. I don't think the Eagles or the Vikings really wanted to face the, at the time, white-hot Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. They were playing so well.
They were.
Great defense and, MVP and Super Bowl-winning quarterback. I mean, Brees is, on a hot day. He's one of those guys that can literally take over a game and eliminate the best play from an opposing team.
When your team won, we're able to get by him.
Now we're going against the Nick Foles led Eagles, and I think both teams have great defenses, but I think the Vikings are going to have an advantage because I don't think Foles is as good as Keenum, and I think our offense is actually on a high right now. From our great win, I'm going to an event tonight with a lot of Vikings players.
Hey, what'd you do? When that final play? Did you spit out some rat ass? Yeah. What'd you do at the time?
How did you react to that last play?
Something? The last 10 minutes of that game, I was pacing in front of my television. I was going to go down to the game, and I realized I would be so distracted that I better just watch it at home. And I was pacing around. And I was one of those people who was glued to the TV saying, okay, there's only 16 seconds left, two plays. We're going to kick the longest field goal in playoff history.
Right,
indoors,
right.
I mean, going through every scenario. And then when Diggs caught the ball, I was literally screaming, get out of bounds, until I saw him put that hand down.
Right.
And then ran. But what a thrilling, exciting game for any football fan.
Yeah,
and
well,
we're hosting the Super Bowl here. So it's preordained. It's going to be the Vikings against the Patriots.
But now I'm starting
and,
to hate him.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're all rooting for you against the Patriots for now.
I literally got goosebumps when that happened, and then I spit my Tide Pod detergent out of my mouth. I couldn't believe it.
That's not a bizarre food, by the way.
No.
Tide Pod. Well, it is bizarre, but you don't eat.
But
those.
Don't eat those.
It's a little off topic, but it just reminded me of the. The playoff game that sent the 75 Cowboys, the Drew Pearson catch, into the Super Bowl against the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
The Dwight Clark catch.
Oh, it was amazing. Amazing play.
Unbelievable.
Amazing play. And congratulations.
Unbelievable.
All right.
Almost as amazing as the premiere show next week of Bizarre Food.
Where are you first episode?
We are... I love to tell stories from Minnesota because I think it's a wonderful place to illuminate and shine a light on. So this year we start out by going down the Paul Bunyan Trail in northern Minnesota and exploring the history of the pioneers and their interactions with the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. We travel across Napoleon's route from western Poland to eastern Poland as he went into Russia. We take the romantic road through Germany. We go down the Amalfi Coast. We do a show in New Mexico. We follow the Aztec Trail from Tepoztlan into Mexico City. It's a fantastic season. season. And then right at the end of it, we roll right into my newest show, which is Zimmern List, which premieres March 13th.
Well, first of all, before we get to that, so do you eat older foods on these trails for the new show? Stuff that was
Well, I mean, it's interesting. By weaving the history and the storytelling into it, I think we have a much stickier show for viewers that has a lot more aha moments and a lot more fun to be had. I like putting those boundaries around it, historical characters, famous routes. But, you know, following the route that Napoleon's army took, they found the food to be so bland that they would hunt for animals and season it with gunpowder. So I got to try that.
How was that?
Which was, I mean, you know, eating gunpowder is something that even if you'd asked me a couple years ago, I would have said, no, who does that?
Well, you don't smoke after that, do you? That'd be dangerous, wouldn't it?
No, you don't even get near fire. You could internally combust.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Season with gunpowder.
We don't want to do that.
All they had was gunpowder to season it with, huh?
They couldn't carry. Remember, Napoleon's army got bogged down in the winter at a point in time that, you know, with hundreds of thousands of men that they couldn't feed, which is why they conscripted so many soldiers along the way.
Right.
And while they had great rallying cries of hope, you know, everyone saw Napoleon's, vision to conquest and unite Europe all the way through to Russia was just going to be a pipe dream. And a lot of people died of starvation, malnutrition, and all the diseases that they carry. So they really didn't have much. Foraging in the Polish forest in winter for an army hundreds of years ago was not a fun thing.
Yeah, of all the places that you described that you're going, I find, and maybe it's just because I grew up there, the Midwestern cuisine to be the least interesting, the most bland. My buddy from California calls Midwestern food beige food.
Oh, he couldn't be more wrong. What used to be flyover country is actually now leading the nation in terms of food creativity. Chefs in L.A. and New York and Chicago and Miami and Boston and Seattle and Houston are all getting into the maker's art. You know, you don't just put bacon in a recipe, you make your own. Everyone is trying to reconnect to the farm. You know, in Minnesota, we've never stopped putting up jams and jellies, making our own bacon. Everyone here could reach out and touch a farmer. And quite frankly, we still have our connection to wild foods and foraging. And the food.
He shot you down, Todd. Todd likes to hammer his own too much, man. He shot you down.
Much more interesting. Well,
hey,
it's good to hear. It's cool now.
What's the weirdest thing you ate in this season, Andrew Zimmern with us, Bizarre Foods?
The weirdest thing that I ate in this season was probably, just so many things. Probably some of the rotten tomato ketchup in Missouri that was very popular during the Civil War.
Not necessary.
It's actually called rotten tomato ketchup?
You actually take 10 pounds of tomatoes and put them in an open earthenware tub and let them rot until there's about 8 inches of blue, white, and black mold on the top of it.
Oh,
and they've completely spoiled, and then it's salted and boiled and strained, and it's pretty rank.
It was a Civil War, right?
Then again, some people find, you know, I ate little hot dogs and barbecue sauce at a potluck on the Paul Bunyan Trail, along with a lot of interesting critter as well. But, you know, America has laws on the books that, you know, allow the hot dog companies to not tell you what's in them.
Yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
One man's weird is another man's wonderful.
True. But the rotten tomato ketchup is because it was a Civil War time. They couldn't keep them fresh, right? So do they still make it now? It sounds horrible.
Delicious on hard tack.
People there have held on to a taste for it. What they found was they were so hungry that they took these rotten tomatoes with lots of mold, boiled the heck out of it, and, you know, then they said, let's have Mikey try it, and he didn't die. And they said, you know, okay, let's keep eating this stuff, he and they developed a taste for it.
He didn't die. Who was the first person? Since you do a lot of history in these shows, we've talked about that before. Somebody had to eat something first and not die. Who was the person in a lot of these situations had to eat it? The guy that made it?
Mostly it was observing animals.
Got it.
Native people saw seagulls picking up oysters and clams and dropping them on the rocks and then pecking out the meat,
right.
They said, wow, there's a food source. So that's a fairly good example. It's interesting, though, if human history is described in, you know, instead of in millions of years, in just, you know, 1 to 10, and we're present day is 10, and, you know, man first walking out of Africa was 1.
Mm-hmm.
We've only been eating for pleasure for, you know, 1/10 of human history. Really was a cuisine of necessity until we started eating for pleasure 10,000 years ago.
Okay, it's only been 10 years, right. 10,000 years ago.
And thus you have a show. How long have you been doing this now? Is this 12, 13 years?
I think we're entering into our 12th year. I think our 5th of Bizarre Foods, our 4th year of Delicious Destinations, and then the new show rolls out in March, Zimmernlist, which I think is the best work that I've ever done.
Now, what's that show about? Since you brought it up a couple of times, what's that show about?
It follows me into cities, and the camera goes where I go when normally the cameras wouldn't be around. And I know that sounds like a very simple idea, but it allows me to explore the places that I think, you know, fans and food lovers really want to go. But more importantly, we use prime film lenses. We use a lot of matte sound. It's shot differently. It looks different. It sounds different. There's very little voiceover. It's a much more immersive, personal program.
Got it.
And I think fans are going to find that it sort of sets the tone for what food and travel shows should look and feel like in the future.
All right, man.
Well,
I'm really proud of it. My production company, Intuitive Content, made it, and I couldn't be prouder of my team. We really created something wonderful.
What was the in this season? There's always something that I know you really don't want to try. I mean, you've seen stuff that usually you told us before that it's stuff that's sold in the street somewhere, usually a foreign country that's been there too long. You know, that's pretty much death on a stick.
Yeah, that even seagulls won't eat.
Yeah, so
that's true. When the birds are avoiding it, it's a good idea to avoid it yourself.
What was the worst thing you tasted on this particular season? Edible but horrible to taste.
Edible but horrible. I'm going to have to go with that rotten tomato ketchup. I know it's goofy.
It sounds horrible. Horrible.
That really was something that gave me a lot of pause to eat. Now, I think what's happened over my lifetime, because I was eating this way and curious about these foods before the TV show started, which is, you know, why I went to the network with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of animal innards and wild critters and other things, you know, bugs, stink bugs in Mexico, humilis, that I think make a wonderful salsa that I ate with an Aztec family that I was there, that I think a lot of people would cringe at. But for me, I was looking forward to finally getting back to a place that had fresh stink bugs.
See, most people would look at that as, I would only eat that in a survival situation.
Yeah.
But you're sitting down for a bowl of stink bugs.
they call that because they stink too? Is that the obvious part of it?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right.
They do. They secrete an odor when they're frightened or alarmed. They have a very unusual taste. But when they're ground up and with a little bit of chili and a little bit of tomato, and I do mean a little bit, you end up with a very fragrant, sort of bitter, tutti-frutti flavor that I just find delicious.
All right. Stink bug salsa. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to eat the stink bug right after it's been agitated.
Or you scare it. It'll
you
just
wait
pee
for
on
it
here,
to calm
right?
down
No,
a little
you
bit.
Do. You do. That's
oh, you
when they're
do.
At their best.
Oh.
Okay, you do.
Okay, you do.
Believe me, when the stink bugs, here's the deal. When the stink bugs are in the mortar and that pestle is heading towards them and you're about to grind them up, which you have to do while they're alive, because
right.
no one would eat a dead stink bug. I think you terrorize them enough that they secrete their awful secretion.
And that gives them the flavor.
Correct.
All right. Good luck with the Vikings, Andrew. Appreciate you calling, man. Good luck with the new season. Let's talk soon, man.
And I'll reinvestigate that.
Hey, guys, be well. Thanks.
All right.
That Midwestern cuisine I grew up with.
Well, I think he was describing some other stuff, like touching a farmer for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, you can always touch a farmer. So you can swing a bat and always hit a farmer? Is that the deal?
Well, he's describing restaurants and places in the Midwest. I think if you go to grandma's house, you can still find beige food.
Yeah, that's what he was – right. I think he got you were talking about two different things.
Yeah.
You were talking about the crap you grew up on.
I'm talking about
– the beige food you grew up on.
Grautbushka, which is a bun and some hamburger and some onion mixed in with it. You know?
Grautbushka. Speaking of Missouri, we have a Missourian right here in the studio. Did you ever have – the horrible ketchup?
I've had horrible ketchup, but nothing like that.
Rotten tomato ketchup.
But not intentionally.
You mention a heart attack reference, which is a great Civil War reference, exactly.
I've had the moldy ketchup in the door.
Yeah.
The fridge, you know? I've had that.
Oh, I've had that,
which
too.
I assume is pretty much the same thing.
It's got to be the same thing.
Fried green tomatoes, big in Missouri?
In the southern part, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's what I thought.
Sure.
More of a southern.
Yeah, my mother is literally from the Ozarks.
Is she from there?
Yeah,
she had to eat some.
I'm half
awesome.
Hillbilly. I don't know if you know that.
I know. Why? You're always so elitist to me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to compensate.
You are half hillbilly. I didn't know that.
I'm half hillbilly. Okay. A lot of people don't know that.
No, I didn't know that. It always came off so sophisticated years ago.
Well, this stink bug don't scare.
Yeah. And if you ask him to cook up a batch of meth, he could do it for you.
Well, that's
I'd have to look up the recipe, though,
sure,
honestly.
But you could pull it off.
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
It's in your blood.
It's Craig Peters, Funny Bone this week with Ryan Hamilton. Craig is hosting a Clash of the Comics tonight, right? You're the host.
Yes,
you're the main
something.
Guy.
Yeah,
he's closing the show.
He's closing the show. Yeah, he's the
Headliner
professional.
Pants.
We have to cleanse the palate after we have so many open micers.
And then Ryan is there, the headliner on Friday and Saturday. You're the feature. Then you're the feature. You're headlining again on Sunday, right? With Richard Reese
and Nick Allen.
And Nick's there too. So Colleen's with
That'll
us.
That'll be
also
a fun show.
Our buddy Craig Peters in the house. Did you bust off a tooth in some bad ketchup? Is that what happened? You just say
that. That's how that happened. Got some bad ketchup.
That was a question.
On my hardtack.
I know hardtack was a great reference. Dip some hardtack in some moldy ketchup. Mmm, I love the Civil War.
Wow.
Where the past was the best, wasn't
it? Takes my mind off that gangrene.
Right.
The past was the best.
Season that up with a little gunpowder.
They probably did that for the Civil War, too.
And if you got the stink bug salsa laying around,
Grandma
nice,
passed the
nice
stink
side.
Bugs.
No, nobody eats dead stink bugs. That's stupid.
That's crazy.
Right. I think that's a dance. The stink bug salsa.
They do that in the Ozarks.
Right.
Yeah.
Big dude dance craze.
I ain't eating that stuff. I realize it's to each person what they think is wrong. And I understand that people don't eat oysters. I like oysters. They gross out at oysters. But when you're talking some of the stuff that Andrew Zimmert eats, now he actually listed some decent stuff there, except for the stink bug salsa. I'll dance, but I ain't eating it.
Yeah, well, like you said, in a survival situation,
that's why
I could do that.
That's true. That's why innards, like hog maw, I used to eat, my grandparents did a lot of Pennsylvania Dutch stuff, which was, pig stomach. And I remember eating this, like, oh, it's Sunday dinner. We're having pig stomach. Oh, okay. And I ate it. I'm thinking, why do people eat this? Because it was what it was done.
Yeah.
That's like pig's feet and things like that. Stuff was around for years, and they had to eat the whole animal to live. We don't have to eat the whole animal out now.
You know what's really hot cuisine-wise in Cleveland is the jowl meat, the cow jowls.
Oh, really? Is it just is it really marbleized?
It's like really supposed to be really good and tender and everything.
All right.
But
makes
the cow talk funny.
Oh, they keep the cow alive.
Keep the cow alive. That's how horrible it is.
And they just eat the jowls.
And they just eat the jowls. They say it's humanitarian. They say it's humanitarian, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But as a kid, you even ate the innard stuff, Tyler?
What was that?
You ate the innard stuff as a kid?
Well, there was sausage cooked in, a lot of different stuff cooked inside a pig stomach. And it was like a casing, looked like a pig stomach. Yeah,
growing up with Scandinavian grandparents, there was some lutefisk.
Yeah, I've heard this. This sounds gross.
And even as a kid, I went, no.
This is lye, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
That's
fish
how they
in
preserved
lye.
It. They preserved it in poison, because the Vikings had to bring it over in their ships.
Uh-huh.
So that's it's cod, and it's preserved in lye.
Yeah, even as a kid.
As when, rotten fish, right?
When that came out at family dinners, I was like, pass.
Did it taste okay? You had to try it, didn't you?
I tried it, and no, it was horrible.
Did you try it, Carl?
No.
I can taste it now.
I've heard of it before
from you guys.
You don't hear anything good about it except from the old timers who've had it their whole lives.
Right, exactly. Like, right. Have you ever been at a bar years ago? I remember being at a bar years ago with my dad. I was a kid, and somebody, hey, give me a pig foot. And they break that jar out behind the bar, and it's dusty. And the guy just chewing on it. I said, that's not right. There's chips right there.
It's a bowl of peanuts.
It's a bowl of peanuts, and you're eating a pig foot.
If you find anybody that enjoyed or enjoys lutefisk, they're either old or they're dead now.
Well, you have to think that's a dish that's just going to disappear.
You would think.
Sometime very soon.
Yeah. Now, you're getting paid a lot of money to do that. Like Andrews, I'm sure he has a nice career what he does. But he also enjoys that kind of stuff, too. Looking forward to Stink Bud Salsa. Stink Bud. That sounds even better, doesn't it? That was a Freudian.
I need that.
Yeah. Give me some stink. I'd eat Stink
Bud. And Salsa.
I'd eat Stink Bud Salsa.
Stink Bud. Stink Bug. Oh, I'd like a Stink Bud.
That's what I said. Sure. Stink Bud Salsa.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
Pass.
Stink Bug or Tide Pod?
Oh, Stink Bud.
Stink Bug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not deadly.
I had to
kids with their Tide Pods. Right, when I was a kid, you get your gang together, you get a laundromat, and scrape up some quarters. Mm-hmm. You got a little machine there on the wall. Yeah, slide the bar down, grab a little box of detergent, split it up. We didn't have pods.
We ate it
right out of the box.
Right out of the box. We did, actually. We did. No, it's funny. I was telling these guys earlier that I had the talk with my son yesterday, not the sex talk. I had the Tide Pod talk. He gets in the car, and we've been talking about this, and he's 13, and he watches YouTube all the time. I'm thinking, you know, I got to have to bring this up, you know, because Dr. Mina called us and said, this will make people, not less, if you don't die, sometimes you don't eat.
You're a vegetable.
You don't eat the rest of your life. There's a tube in your belly or something like that. So I said, well, I got to bring it up. I said, I'm all serious. I go, listen, I got to talk to you about something. I know you watch YouTube all the time. And he's always nervous. I'm going to talk about something real serious. And I go, don't ever eat any of those Tide Pods. And he looked at me, and he goes, Dad, what do you think I am? Can't say the word. And I said, well, I assumed you were smart enough. He goes, that kills you. I said, yeah, it does kill you. I said, but I know some of the guys you hang out with.
And you do live with him.
I do live with him. And I said, I've seen you do 13-year-old stupid stuff. And YouTube, we didn't have it back in the day. Like Craig said, it was old-fashioned. We went down to the laundromat and sucked it right out of the box.
Right.
Licked it off the floor if you had to.
But you have to tell these people.
Or snorted it, if we could.
But unfortunately, there are idiots out there older than 13 eating the Tide Pods.
All right, I just tweeted this out. What? Tide Pods are now out, and all the kids are eating wall cotton candy. It's a roll of fiberglass insulation. But it's pink. And it looks tasty.
Wall cotton candy?
Yeah.
They're not eating it, are they?
No. Oh, but it makes just as much sense.
It does, exactly. Greg Peters with us. Colleen's hanging out, too. Funny one this weekend. Quick break. Going back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.